interested in that.
I hate to see Brian.
Yeah. I'd like to call the meeting in order at 8:00 AM. I'd like to ask if you would please silence your cell phones, it's courtesy of all, and just double check your phones. Each director received a notice of this committee meeting, and the public meeting notice was properly posted as required by law. Director Embrough indicated he would not be present for the meeting. At this point, we'd like to set aside time to hear from you, the general public, see if you're interested in providing comments, and filled out a card at the reception desk, you'll be called to make your comments at this time. Any comment cards?
No.
Seeing there no one wishes to speak, we'll move forward to the agenda. Our later agenda item number one is report and possible discussion of external audit fiscal year 2025, Baker City entered, who's gonna be introduced by Michelle Boren, Chief Financial Officer. And that presentation will be presented by Aaron Ward and Baker Workman with Baker Dilly.
Thank you, Director Taylor. As part of our annual audit, our outside financial auditing firm is required to provide certain communications to the board and to present those communications today. We have Aaron Worthman, who's our principal with Baker Tilly.
Good morning, everyone. Again, Aaron Worthman, the lead audit principal, and I'm pleased to present the fiscal 2025 audit.
Question.
Which one is it? The right? Okay, good. I gotta point it somewhere else. Oh.
We'll run it back here.
Oh, you run it? Okay,
yeah.
Great. Sounds good. All right. Well, first thing I want to do is just go through the engagement team, introduce to you who's all going to be working on the audit this year. Then give you a little background on the audit. You know, what is it exactly that we do? Discuss our audit timeline. Go through the required communications that we have as your auditor. Touch on a couple areas of emphasis as we go about and conduct the audit. And then lastly, wrap up with our detailed audit plan. Next slide. Next slide. So again, we were able to keep the same team. So we have myself as the principal. You've probably met Sarah Slaughter before as the director, and then our manager is Ryan Tyler. So the good news is, over the past few years, actually since inception, since we started the audit, Sarah and I have been part of it, and Ryan's been on board for at least 5 years now. So that definitely helps with the continuity. We know your team very well, which is good, so I would anticipate an efficient and effective audit this year. Next slide, please. So what I want to do is just kind of point out the scope of our audit and what exactly we're auditing. So obviously the first thing that we do is we're going to conduct an audit of your financial statements in accordance with auditing standards generally accepted in the United States of America. The other thing that we do is, because we audit you in compliance with government auditing standards, we are going to issue a report on internal controls over financial reporting and on compliance and other matters. Now, just so you know, when we audit you in compliance with government auditing standards, there's additional standards that we need to follow specific to the due care of our audit, independence of our audit team, supervision of that team, quality control, and our continuing professional education. And then, if needed, we'll also conduct an audit on your federal awards. It's also known as a single audit. I don't believe that you're going to fall within that threshold this year, so I don't think that's going to be applicable as far as I know. Next slide. So taking a look at the timeline, so we actually started the planning for our audit in June. We did conduct our preliminary field work in July, with having our planning presentation right now. We're going to conduct our final fieldwork in November of this year with draft reports in December. And as usual, I'll come present to the board our final audit results in your January board meeting. Next slide. So when we look at the audit, you know, there's some planning considerations we have, and we've talked about some of these before. You know, we'll talk about today and then later this morning as well about internal controls, how we do spend a lot of time looking at internal controls. And we do provide an opinion on your financial statements. Just know, though, we do not provide an opinion on internal controls. When we go about and conduct the audit, you'll often hear this concept of materiality. Well, it's basically something large enough in your financial statements that an error in that materiality could cause changes in the decisions of the users of those financial statements. So we use this materiality threshold quantitatively and qualitatively to basically set the groundwork for our testing. So if you were to think of $10 million, is that probably material? Well, yeah, it's very significant in that if you had that type of change to your balance sheet, that could affect some decisions, that could affect bond ratings. If you had, let's say, a $500,000 off in your fixed assets, is that material? No. So that just kind of gives you a little bit of perspective of when we start talking about the quantitative aspects of your financial statements, or even qualitative, we do use this materiality as our threshold. A couple other items I wanted to point out is your auditor. Again, our responsibility is to form and express an opinion on your financial statements, and then also reporting on other information included within those financial statements, the notes, things to that extent. Next slide, please. So when we take a look at the audit, you know, you often hear us talk about independence. Pleased to report that our firm continues to be, and every member on the audit engagement continues to be independent. And we definitely need to keep that independence throughout the audit engagement. One of the things we do is we do rely on specialists as part of our audit team. Specifically, we'll rely on valuation specialists for the fair value of your investments. And then also, when we conduct a lot of this information technology testing, we have a certified information system auditor as part of our team that conducts that testing. If we look at the significant risks for this year's audit, I'd say this year's audit should be pretty straightforward. We did have one accounting change relative to compensated absences, but that should be a pretty straightforward change, so we'll take a look at that. But when we look at the risks, I'd say the risk, one of the risks we were always going to have is a management override of controls. So one of the ways we test that is we spend a significant amount of time taking a look at your adjusting journal entries that management prepares, or journal entries. We take a look at those. We use some data analytics to determine what are the risky journal entries, and we'll test those. But that's one of the biggest tests that we do in addition to for management override of controls. And then the other major significant risk that we have is improper revenue recognition due to fraud. So we do spend a lot of time looking at your revenues, your receivables, cutoff of those revenues and receivables to make sure that we test that risk as well.
Eric?
Yes?
Could you give me just a little bit more of a definition or explanation about the compensated absences?
Sure. So when you take a look at your, right now your employees have leave, whether it be sick leave or vacation time. Well, the rules change for that into how you calculate and requiring you to put a liability. I believe my understanding is you've had a liability in years past, but we really had to look at the guidance because they did change some of the estimates that go into creating that liability. So we'll work with management to take a look at that to make sure we comply. I don't think that's going to be a significant change, but there'll be a small change perhaps that we'll look at. I will say, though, and when we go back, you know, a few years, there were very significant changes for leases, the accounting for leases and subscription-based information technology arrangements, which was a heavy lift for your management team. There was a lot of work to do. This one was pretty basic, pretty simple, so we don't anticipate any issues with that.
Thank you.
And Aaron, who's driving these changes?
This would be the Governmental Accounting Standards Board.
Okay.
Every year they continue to come out with additional guidance. They've been very active the past few years, keeping management team busy. But for the next couple, we should be okay with nothing major on the horizon. So that's good news. And next slide, please. So one of the things we always talk about, you know, if we went back maybe 10 or 12 years ago, the communication you would get from your audit team would normally just be at the end of the audit. They present their results. But recently, the profession is wanting to make sure we have two-way communication. Now, part of that is me coming and presenting the audit plan, obviously coming at the end of the audit and going through our findings, results, et cetera. But one of the big things we want to make sure we do is have this two-way communication in that, as part of our audit, we'll reach out and speak not only with management, but a couple board members as well. But we do want to get your input into the audit process. So whether it be when we're conducting the audit or at any time during the year, if you have a concern, certainly if you have a question on the audit or something you think we should take a closer look at, definitely make sure to reach out to me. My contact information's in here so we can have those discussions. And if needed, we can take some of those questions you may have and incorporate those into our audit plan. Next slide, please. So if we were to look at the audit process, I'd mentioned internal controls before. Roughly 30% of the work we do is specific to those controls. What we'll do is we'll look at all your major processes, whether it be your fixed assets, your expenses, payroll. We'll document those processes. And then we'll also note where you need to have controls in place. We'll take a look at those controls and make sure you have those, and we'll test those for effectiveness. Most of these controls we'll be looking at are information technology based. So much so, in fact, that's why we have our certified information systems auditor that helps conduct that testing. But that's about 30%. Then 40% of what we do are what we call our substantive tests. That would be the nuts and bolts of our audit, if you will. That would be confirming your cash and investments with outside parties, taking a look at your fixed asset additions, your fixed asset retirements. I mentioned before your revenues and receivables, and then payroll, but that's about 40%. And then lastly, the last 30% would be the planning of your audit and then taking a look at that financial report. Next slide, please. I've left this in here for reference. If we did have a single audit, we would be auditing your CEFA, your Schedule of Expenditures and Federal Awards. Understanding is we won't have one, but if we ever do, these would be the types of things and how we would test that single audit. Next slide, please. And then what I've done here for reference is put our audit plan so you can see, you know, what are the types of things that we do during the planning and interim phase of our audit, what it would do at final and audit completion. So when we look at the planning and interim field work, you know, that's where we establish this materiality threshold, which sets the groundwork for audit. It sets what our sample sizes are going to be and how we select samples. We'll review board minutes to make sure that if there's any major transactions or major events, we certainly pick that up in our audit plan. Moving to final field work, that's where we do most of the substantive testing again, cash and investments, fixed assets, taking a look at your expenditures, accounts payable. And then the last part of our audit is the audit completion, where we'll review the draft financial statements and provide comment. We'll obtain attorney's responses, so if there's any litigation or any contingencies or anything of that effect, we evaluate those to see if we need any financial statement disclosures. We'll review the management's representation letter. That's the letter that they'll provide us with all their representations as part of the audit process. It talks about their thoughts on fraud, internal controls, new accounting implementations, and things like that. And then lastly, we'll meet and present the audit. Next slide, please. So one of the things, you know, we often get asked by board of directors, you know, do you have resources that we could use that might be helpful as we go about and conduct our oversight? We do. If you go to our website, you can go into this link here and you can find many different, resources for governance and things to that extent. So if you haven't, I'd urge you to check that out. There's some good insights in there. But then lastly, I'll open it up to any questions anyone might have about our audit plan this year. If any.
Do you have any questions or comments? Going, gone.
2 + 6 = 4.
There you go, yeah.
Sounds good. I'll entertain a motion to adjourn this. from Warren. And a second by Judy, all in favor?
Aye.
We're adjourned at 8:15 AM.